Alright, now that I've almost choked to death and died, let's try doing that again. Possibly one of the greatest intros to stating the obvious ever, as I almost fucking die here. He is the Trumpenfuhrer, and he can launch missiles just like every other president before him, except of course for the presidents that were president back before missiles were invented, but still, same concept. You can scream and shout with all your might. And that's why you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way the Trumpenfuhrer's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget my friends and my enemies, bitches and bitchettes, pimps and hoes, the third most likely possibility, you are wrong and I am right. How does that happen, you ask? Well, it happens because I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Central Libertarian Society. I've been on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 12 years, and I am right. I am always right. I have always been right. I will always be right. I have never been wrong. And this is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect homes in on and destroy stupid motherfucking statists all around the world. Does not matter what kind of statist you are. Right-wing statist, left-wing statist, statheist, GLBTKKK statist, cyber statist, anarcho-sissy, anti-faggot, faggot, fag-fowl, fag, anti-fowl, whatever you fucking faggots are. It does not matter. I will hurt your fucking feelings, because your feels need to be hurt. Alright, we're not going to talk about Donald Trump launching missiles at Syria, other than to say that, oh look, the President of the United States killed some people in another country by explosives. Wow. Guys, I know you, and so I haven't really looked into this. I just see the shit on the internet. There's all these, Donald Trump has betrayed us. He was going to put America first. Guys, people, see, this is why statism doesn't work. Obama got elected. There is all of his, Obama, he's the light bringer. He's going to change everything. What changed? What was different? Nothing. 7 countries in 6 years dropping bombs on them. Okay, nothing changed. Now you get the fucking Trumpenfuhrer. And he's like, oh yeah, you're gonna put America first and you're gonna make America great again. No, and guys, listen, the military industrial complex must be pacified. There's no surprises here. There's no fucking surprises here. I mean, this is why it's not even worth talking about. The President of the United States used the military to kill people in foreign countries in an attempt to influence things to go in favor of the United States government. This is not news. This is what governments do. This is why statism doesn't work. This is why it does not matter who the president is to any significant degree. Am I still happy that the Trumpenfuhrer is the president instead of Hillary Clinton? Yes, absolutely. I'm still very happy the Trumpenfuhrer won and Hillary Clinton lost. Yes. But it doesn't make any kind of significant difference. You know what else I think is fascinating? And then I'm going to move on, and we're going to, because I want to get this podcast recorded, because I think I'm going to go trail running. We'll see how it fucking goes. Then we're going to move on and get back to the book, The Internet is Not the Answer, which I'm still talking about, which I want to wrap up, even though it keeps going on and on and on, because there's even more. And now there's even more. Now with all the fucking whining about YouTube demonetization. Oh, and then I had the Twitterverse open yesterday, day before sometime, and I just saw a tweet go by from Roosh where he said that PayPal had apparently shut down his PayPal account. I don't have any details on this, but the tweet was something like, PayPal has shut down my account. They say the only way I can get it is to get a lawyer and file an appeal or something. Guys, oh my God, fuck people, fuck. I'm thinking about doing an educational podcast for right-wingers because you guys are really fucking stupid. And not just stupid in the sense that you need the government to build roads for you, and you don't think that, you know, you don't understand how roads would exist if there were no government. You're just fucking stupid. When you show up and you're whining about how YouTube demonetized your videos, of course YouTube demonetized your videos, you fucking idiot. YouTube is owned by Google. Google is left-wing. You are right-wing. Great one. I went and jumped in the ocean, and the water was really wet. Okay, this is not news. Non-stupid people know this. Of course YouTube demonetized your videos, you fucking idiot. PayPal, left-wing organization. Roosh, right-wing. Of course PayPal shut down your PayPal account. Are you fucking stupid? What do you fucking morons expect? You, those of you on the right who fucking put all this fucking jacking off and masturbating and ass-licking into fucking feminist book and Twitterverse and fucking PayPal and fucking censorship tube. What do you expect? How stupid are you? The answer is you're really fucking stupid because you continue to be surprised by this. Of course PayPal shut down your fucking PayPal account. Of course YouTube demonetized your videos. Of course YouTube censored your fucking videos. And of course, Donald Trump fired missiles at Syria to pacify the military-industrial complex and further the desires of the collective known as the government of the United States. There's all these people who are whining about how the Russians hacked the election and influenced the election. Also, you ever notice how throughout the last, 200 plus years, when the United States has been doing things to other countries to influence their elections and their politics, you ever notice how nobody had a problem with that? It's only when the evil Russians influence American politics to get Donald Trump elected, or at least allegedly, suddenly now this is a giant problem. Do you think All the bombs that Obama dropped on other countries, the invasion of Afghanistan, embargo, all of this stuff was designed to influence the politics in other countries. The embargo of Cuba. I mean, the entire foreign policy history of the United States is the government of the United States attempting to influence politics in other countries. You know, liberals have never had a problem with one country influencing the politics in another country until the evil Russians hacked the election and got Donald Trump elected. All right, enough. Enough of all of that. We must now move forward and continue discussing why the internet is not the fucking answer. Hey guys, if the internet is the answer, how come your PayPal account is deactivated and your fucking YouTube videos have been demonetized? We're on page 144. What is this, like part 564 of this or something? I don't even know. Oh, by the way, I am the Great One himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. We're on the internet, cynlibsoc.com. You can find me on the YouTube. I still haven't been censored over there yet. I'm kind of surprised my channel still exists, but I don't put a lot of effort into it because one day YouTube's going to turn it off because I'm not a left-wing social justice warrior faggot. Yes. See, I already know that one day my YouTube channel will be deleted by YouTube. When it happens, I will not be surprised. Because I'm a fucking self-conscious, self-aware, perceptive, non-dumbass. You guys over on the right wing, you should try that sometime. In the control room, the lovely and adorable Randy. Through the open window, you can hear the police sirens. Or perhaps fire truck sirens. Not sure. Don't have the window, don't have the shades open, so I can't see anything. I can't see the street from here anyway. What else? You can send us email. God, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. Remember, send pictures of yourself naked if you're an attractive female. If you're not an attractive female, send naked pictures. No, pictures of naked attractive females. The picture wouldn't be naked. Send me pictures of titties and butt. And there you go. Then maybe I'll respond to your email. I'm trying to get better about responding to people who contact me. I got somebody on Gab wants me to watch a video with an ANCAP. If you're listening about the, you gabbed me. Because I do a lot of social media. I got you guys, seriously guys. Stop, seriously guys. Just, if you're going to social media me and you want a response, the Twitterverse is probably your best bet. Because that's still the one that I look at the most. For God's sake, stop fucking messaging me on Facebook. I haven't logged into the Facebook account in 3 months. Just don't fucking contact me on the feminist book, guys. Here's a goddamn email address. If you listen to the podcast, you know what it is. Send me a fucking email. What is that? What else do we got? Randy, what did I forget? Yes, today is the 12th of April in the year of the Trump and Fuhrer 2017. All right, moving on. Fucking, let's just get this going. I got shit to do. I'm going to die one day. I want to go trail running. It's fucking like 70 degrees, beautiful outside. Page 114. Where am I living? Here we go. If this is your first episode, we're still discussing. You might go back in history and listen. We're discussing the book called The Internet Is Not the Answer by Andrew Keen. Data factories are eating the world. But while this has created a, I don't know what this word is, of boy plutocrats like Evan Spiegel, Kevin Systrom, and Tumblr's 27-year-old CEO David Karp, it certainly isn't making the rest of us rich. You see, for the labor we invest in adding intelligence to Google, or content to Facebook, or photos to Snapchat, we are paid zero. Nothing at all, except the right to use the software for free. Quote, it wasn't always like this. TechCrunch reports about our new data factory economy. Quote, to earn a profit, companies used to have to do the dirty work themselves. They hired huge staffs in real factories to sew textiles or build cars. People worked for wages and bought products. But technology changed all that. Unquote. Yes, technology has indeed changed all that. Some argue that while this might be bad for the old industrial working class, it is actually beneficial for consumers who, while not being paid for their labor, nonetheless get to enjoy free products like Google's search engine, Twitter's timeline, Yelp's restaurant reviews, and YouTube's videos. Except, of course, for the YouTube videos that are censored because they're right wing, and because you right wingers are still too fucking dumb to know that YouTube is going to censor your videos, because somehow or another, you, even though you can't shut the fuck up about freedom and free markets, you don't seem to understand that YouTube can do whatever the fuck they want with the videos that you put on YouTube servers. And you think you have some kind of fucking right, you know, kind of like welfare recipients have a right to food stamps. You right-wingers seem to be under the impression, possibly because you're dumb fucks, that you have some kind of right to YouTube not just displaying your videos, but also monetizing your videos and giving you money for them, because you seem to be under the impression that putting videos on YouTube is a fucking job. And that's why when I hear your wah, 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 all I hear is wah, 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 wah. In our so-called attention economy, they argue, these services also provide us with the platforms to be visible. And there's your problem. When you are relying on these platforms that you are allowed to use for your visibility, you are failing. Because when the platform goes away, when YouTube demonetizes you, when YouTube bans your videos, when YouTube takes your channel off, when Twitter fucking deactivates your account, when Feminist Book takes your page down, if you're relying on that for your visibility, when that is taken away from you by the social media corporation that you have no control over, your visibility is gone. Having a Facebook page is fine, but the point of the Facebook page is to drive people to something you control, such as your domain name, your website, your books on Amazon.com, your products, your organization where people give you an email and you communicate with them directly, okay? You can use the social media to bring people to you, but the Facebook page cannot be the final destination. The YouTube channel cannot be the final destination. And if you want money, you better fucking figure out a way to access that directly. Because when the day comes that Patreon starts banning the fucking right-wingers and shutting down your accounts, oh God, the tears are going to fucking flow. It's going to be like, it's going to be a repeat of the fucking social justice warriors when Donald Trump won the election. There's going to be fucking right-wing statists on YouTube. They're going to be screaming, Patreon, shut down my account. Make it stop. Make it stop. And you're going to be shaking your fat, flabby arms like Trigglypuff, okay? And you're, no, that's not going to happen, great one. You just hate conservatives. You hate Christians. You hate white people. You're just a fucking liberal. You hate Donald Trump. That's what you fucking little faggots are saying right now. No, the day is coming when Patreon will fucking start turning your accounts off. Time will prove me right. We got Roosh over here. You, PayPal turned off my PayPal account. Of course they turned off your PayPal account, dumbass. You're right wing. Why do I have to explain this? Oh yeah, because you're right wing statist. Because you're fucking stupid. Because just like a goddamn welfare recipient, you think you are entitled to a PayPal account. You think you have a right to fucking monetization on YouTube. Guys, the internet is not the answer. There's a fucking book by that title. You might want to fucking read it. In our so-called attention economy, they argue, these services also provide us with platforms to be visible and enable us to build what Fordham University professor Alice Marwick calls our, quote, micro-celebrity, unquote, in the social media age, otherwise known as attention whoring. Quote, Wikipedia is great for readers. It's awful for people who make encyclopedias, unquote. Thus, suggests the New Yorker's Surovich. But is this really correct? Take Instagram, for example. While Systrom's free photo app is certainly awful for Kodak workers and professional photographers, is it really great for the rest of us? Instagram sits in the center of today's perfect storm of technological, social, and economic change. It enables addicts like James Franco to broadcast his Hello, This Is Me photos to his 1.5 million followers. It's the ideal fix for a narcissistic and voyeuristic age. A personalized, customized, and easy-to-use app that encourages us to tell lies about ourselves. But along with being a tool that misrepresents the world, Instagram is pitching us a gigantic lie too. It is selling us the seductive idea that we own this technology, that it's ours. The problem is that we don't own any of it. The technology, the profit, maybe not even our, in quotes, billions of photographs. We work for free in the data factory, and Instagram takes not only all the revenue from their business, but the fruits of our labor too. Again, this is why, there's another reason. I just can't shut up about this. All this work you're putting in to the social media. Ah! As I drop shit. Fuck. I took a drink of water and sloshed water all in my face. That was brilliant. I have a towel here somewhere. There you go. All this work you're putting into the social media shit. Guys, you're just... you're working for them for free. Again, put enough into the social media to drive people to your website, your mailing list, your books, whatever. And your mailing list too. Okay, so is your mailing list, is that through chimp mail or something like that? I mean, do you have a backup? I need to start taking notes for the educational podcast for you fucking right-wingers who don't have any fucking intelligence whatsoever. Your MailChimp mailing list, do you have that backed up and saved locally so that when MailChimp starts shutting down people who are right-wing, are you going to lose your, you know, whatever, 15,000 email addresses on your mailing list? Do you have that backed up somewhere? You probably don't, because you think you have a right to a goddamn MailChimp account. I'm writing that down. I'm going to have to do this episode. I really think I am. Because you guys are fucking dumb. You're just fucking stupid. You're so fucking stupid. In December 2012, after some controversial changes to the wording of Instagram's terms of service, Kevin Systrom had to veraciously deny that Instagram intended to sell users' photos or their data to third parties. Yet the question of who actually owns Instagram's content remains as fuzzy as its photos. As a July 2013 white paper by the American Society of Media Photographers noted, that's the ASMP, as ASMP noted, most Instagram users don't, quote, understand the extent of the rights that they are giving away, unquote. The company's onerous terms of use, the ASMP white paper reported, quote, gives Instagram perpetual use of photos and videos, as well as the nearly unlimited right to license the images to any and all third parties. Unquote. And of course, if Instagram is going to license your photographs to another party, they're going to license your photographs to this third party in exchange for money, which you will not be getting a cut of.
Oh, but I can use Instagram for free. Oh my God, I have so many Instagram followers. I'm getting so much attention. Oh my God.
Whether or not Instagram wants to own our photos, it certainly wants to own us. The personal is, indeed, the economic. backed by millions of dollars of investment from Silicon Valley venture capitalist. The whole point of the free Instagram, and this just, why does Instagram even need millions of dollars? Considering they don't do anything, the software is written, it's not like you have to do anything else. It's this whole sort of, all of this social media stuff, in a way, and again, with the advertising and the selling shit, how long until this fucking dies? I've talked about this already. How long is it before the corporate, you can't make money selling personal information to corporations anymore because the corporations are going to have all your fucking personal information. But it's just like this weird bubble. You know, Instagram, and they've got all this money, and they're spending on Snapchat with claiming they're worth $10 billion and stuff. I mean, for what? It's like this weird fake economic bubble. I mean, especially, I mean, I can kind of understand something like Facebook, just because Facebook, because it's this closed thing, it has all these servers. And you have to have money for computers, for servers. Like Instagram, does Instagram have its own dedicated servers? Or is it out there on the cloud? I don't know. But I mean, even then, like, what? How is this an economy? How is this costing so much money, and how is this making money, and how much longer can just the selling personal information, how much longer, when, you know, when is this bubble going to explode? All right, let me get back to this. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. The whole point of the free Instagram app is to make money by mining its users' data. And Instagram's business model, like those of Google, Facebook, Yahoo, Twitter, Snapchat, and most other successful internet companies, is based upon advertising, a strategy it formally introduced in November 2013. And how much longer will advertisers dump money into social media to pay for advertising? And does that work? I mean, so I have, and I look at Instagram sometimes, I see the advertisements. I've never acknowledged one. I mean, who is so, and I guess these people are out there, who are the people that are so stupid that you, whatever, what do you do? Like, I can't even say click because there's no mouse. Do you like, do your finger on the advertisement, and then does it take you somewhere to buy something or something like that? I mean, who's even dumb enough to pay attention to and respond to advertisements on social media? Again, like Facebook, are there people out there that when you're on Facebook, I use ad blockers on my browser so I don't really see the advertisements. But so if you're on Facebook, are there people out there that you see an advertisement on Facebook and you fucking click on it? I mean, this to me, this is like someone who actively watches television commercials. And maybe it's just me, because I have this just excruciatingly high level of hatred for advertising. I don't want to make it illegal. I just don't like seeing it because it's insulting to my intelligence. Virtually every advertisement I have ever encountered it's an insult. I avoid this shit like the plague. And this is why I'm just baffled that this type of advertising even works, because who are the people who have such limited intelligence that they believe this shit, that they fall for this shit, they respond to this shit? In exchange for using its app, our photos reveal to Instagram more and more about our taste, our movements, and our friends. The app reverses the camera lens. And that's why Facebook paid $1 billion for systems. $1 billion. How is Instagram possibly worth $1 billion? That is some fucking fake economy right there. There's nothing there other than personal. I mean, again, the only way you can justify $1 billion is to say, yes, getting these people's personal information to be able to know enough about what they like to manipulate them into buying products. That's the only way this can be worth $1 billion that I can think of. If you can explain this to me, please, please do. The hello, this is me economy is actually more selfie-centric than even James Franco imagined. We think we are using Instagram to look at the world, but actually we are the ones who are being watched. And the more we reveal about ourselves, the more valuable we become to advertisers. So, for example, had I posted those snaps of Kodak's Rochester World Headquarters up on Instagram, the app, by taking advantage of the location data on my iPhone, would have fed me back advertisements with special deals for hotels, or perhaps more appropriately, giving the city's dire economic situation, employment agencies in Rochester. As its parent company, Facebook, is already doing, Instagram might even eventually integrate my photo into an advertisement and use it as an endorsement for a product or service featured in my post, all without my permission or even my knowledge. And it's here that we find the most disturbing flaw in the data factory economy. Free, you see, is anything but free. Because only in social justice warrior United States do you have to explain to people, including a whole lot of right-wingers who claim they can't shut up about, who can't shut up about capitalism, that there ain't no such thing as free. There ain't no such thing as free, kiddies. There ain't no such thing as free. Instagram's greatest deceit is taking our self-love to its darkest and most twisted economic end. A nightmarish conclusion that, in homage to Alfred Hitchcock's 1958 classic movie about a private eye who is the victim of an elaborately staged murder, I dubbed in my last book, Digital Vertigo. Which, I've read that book. I thought I talked about that book on this podcast, but I tried looking for it. I don't think I did. Digital Vertigo is the name of the book. It's also by Andrew Keen. Highly recommend reading it. I also recommend watching Alfred Hitchcock's movie, Vertigo. It's a great movie. It creates a surreal economy in which we are not only the creator of the networked product, but also the product itself. The personal revolution, then, is way more personal than most of us would like. Hitchcock himself, the master of the second plot line, couldn't have come up with a better subtext to the selfie economy. The data factory's core economic value is all the personal information extracted from its free laborers. As in one of Hitchcock's dark movies, it's you, the innocent bystander, the everyman, who is the victim of something that we neither understand nor control. The old saying, well, not that old, but old enough, that somebody wrote many moons ago on the interwebs, right? If you're not paying for it, you're not the customer, you're the product. And because you're not paying, because you don't pay money to YouTube, because YouTube makes its money off of the advertisers get to call the shots. And when the advertisers want left-wing social justice warrior content, and you're not a left-wing social justice warrior, YouTube is going to abandon you. And for you to act surprised by this is just going to make me laugh at you. From social media networks like Twitter and Facebook to the world's second most valuable company, Google, the exploitation of our personal information is the engine of the big data economy. All these companies want to know us so intimately that they can package us up and then, without our consent, sell us back to advertisers. This greed for personal data is what Ethan Zuckerman, the director of the MIT Center for Civic Media, and one of the inventors of pop-up online ads, oh, he should be taken out and shot, describes as the World Wide Web's original sin. A fiasco, Zuckerman says, which forces internet startups that give away their product for free to move, quote, deeper into the world of surveillance, unquote. Quote, it's obvious now that what we did was a fiasco, he writes acidly about the, quote, good intentions, unquote, of internet pioneers like himself. Quote, so let me remind you that what we wanted to do was something brave and noble, unquote. Ah, yes, you invented the pop-up advertisement, and you, what you wanted to do was something brave and noble, because the road to hell is, of course, paved with good intentions. You know, Adolf Hitler wanted to do noble things also. Zuckerman's biblical metaphor is an apt description of the internet's fall from grace. Facebook, for example, a company that was supposedly designed to unite the world, is so guilty of taking advantage of children's images in their ads that a number of U.S. privacy, consumers' rights, and children's nonprofits, as well as parents of exploited teenagers like the filmmaker Annie Leonard, are involved in a bitter legal dispute to shield kids from this disgraceful exploitation. Quote, you probably won't even know when your family is suddenly starring in a commercial, neither will your kid unless she enjoys fine print more than status updates, unquote. Leonard wrote in 2014, quote, but contrary to what Mark Zuckerberg would have you believe, there's not a fine line between a selfie and a sponsored post, unquote. And again, I don't know much about what she's talking about here. Facebook is Facebook taking pictures of people? Oh, Facebook is taking pictures and using them in advertisements without people's permission. Okay, well, stop putting your shit on Facebook. And this whole thing about kids. Okay, so there's poor little children are being exploited. First of all, I'm tired of hearing about kids. Okay, stop putting pictures of your kids on Facebook. I mean, this whole thing where babies, like the baby fucking comes out of the womb, and the mother gets home and the first thing she does is set up a fucking Facebook page for the fucking baby. Okay, there's something wrong with you people. You're attention whores and there's something wrong with you. Keep the pictures of your kids off the fucking Facebook. Speaking of fine lines and original sin, Google, with its suite of free products such as Search, Gmail, its Google Plus social network, and YouTube, is the most sophisticated of these big data companies, and YouTube is the most sophisticated of these big data companies at marketing itself as a selfless nonprofit, while simultaneously grossly exploiting its innocent users. Yeah, I mean, are there any of you out there who are still dumb enough to think that Google products are free? Are you that dumb? Are there any of you out there that dumb? Google is already integrating our posts and our photos into advertisements that are then viewed by billions of people who access the 2 million sites on its display advertising network. Google, whose intentions, like those of Facebook, were no doubt good, is now quite literally transforming us into display ads for their advertising business. We are not only the unpaid product in this economy, but also becoming the billboards for displaying Google's advertising. Once upon a time, companies paid people to walk up and down the streets wearing so-called sandwich boards that displayed advertising. Now, we all do it for free. Yeah, I do it for free, if she's really good looking. Whew, oh, bad attempts at humor. All right, life goes on. Here we go. As Google's then CEO Eric Schmidt confessed to the Financial Times back in 2007, Google wants to know us better than we know ourselves so that it can tell us not only what jobs we should take, but also how we want to spend our day. Quote, "We know where you are. We know where you've been. We can more or less know what you're thinking about," unquote, Schmidt told The Atlantic's editor James Bennett in September 2010. This is the real reason why Google spent $500 million in 2014 on the artificial intelligence startup DeepMind, a technology that, according to The Information's Amir Arafati, wants to, quote, "make computers think like humans," unquote. Which humans, though? The smart humans or the social justice warriors? The humans who can figure shit out on their own, or the humans who think that without the government, there wouldn't be any roads? Well, nobody could build any roads if there weren't no government. Well, a road, well, that's a flat place on the ground. Well, if you don't have a government, you can't make a flat place on the ground. Well, without government, who'd build roads? So if the computers are going to think like that, that's going to be Skynet. We're all going to be fucked. By thinking like us, by being able to join the dots in our mind, Google will own us. And by owning us, our desires, our intentions, our career goals, above all, our buying habits, Google will own the networked future. Silicon Valley insider and technology critic Jaron Lanier argues, quote, "the future should be our theater," unquote. But the problem with the data factory economy is that we have become the show that is being played in somebody else's theater. And unlike professional actors, we aren't even being paid for our labor.
But my YouTube channel is monetized.
Yeah, until it gets fucking unmonetized. Hang on, I'm looking through my notes. I haven't talked about this in a while. I have pages of fucking notes here. Pages. I'm looking at this. See, this is all editorializing that I am going to do all together. All right, yeah, all of this is served. This is like follow-up editorializing. That'll happen later. All right, moving on. Page 135. What am I talking about over here? Losing your job. Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay. Okay. But robots can't write the kind of high-quality journalism. High-quality journalism. High-quality journalism. Oh, that's funny. That's really funny. But robots can't write the kind of high-quality journalism. All right, I don't know if I can get through this sentence without laughing. Let me try one more time. I'm picking up in the middle of something. Now we're talking about search engines, journalism, newspapers, shit like that. Okay, deep breath. But robots can't write the kind of high-quality journalism that distinguishes The Guardian from most of its rivals. So the newspaper's response to the mounting losses has been to double down, like a social justice warrior, on its advertising strategy. Has anybody other than me noticed how everything on the internet is driven by and towards advertising? I'm a capitalist pig, and am I the only person who has a problem with this? Maybe so. I don't know. Land a whale. In February 2014, the paper, The Guardian, announced it was starting a new, quote, branded content and innovation agency, unquote. Boy, there's some good corporate speak. It's in partnership with the, what? Announced it was starting a new branded content and innovation agency in partnership with Unilever that would, essentially, sell sponsored content to advertisers. But of course, now remember, sponsored content, that's not fake news. No, of course not. As the blogger Andrew Sullivan warned about his native advertising strategy, it's actually a public relations campaign, quote, disguised as journalism in order to promote Unilever's image as a green company, unquote.
About the green, but I care about the earth.
Okay, so it's fake news to convince you that a corporation is green. That sounds like journalism. So the next time you read something complimentary about Unilever, and I don't know what the fuck Unilever is, type it into Google. You'll find out, because Google is free and everything on Google is true. So the next time you read something complimentary about Unilever on the Guardian website, make sure you check the fine print. The article might have been, quote, supported, unquote, by Unilever's marketing department. The carnage of job losses has been particularly bloody in the news industry, with full-time professional reporters and writers' jobs at United States newspapers falling from 25,000 to 17,000 between 2003 and 2013, a drop of 31% in newsroom staffing to go along with the 55% fall in advertising sales, 47% drop in weekday print circulation, 35% fall in aggregate revenue, and 37% drop in pre-tax profits. Why are newspapers making profits? I thought profit was evil, and journalists are all left-wing. Don't left-winger journalists hate capitalism and profits? Why are they making money? The same period also saw a drop of 27% in newspaper editorial jobs. You know, and all of these jobs, these are all liberals and left-wing statists losing their jobs. That's one more reason I have no sympathy for newspapers going out of business, is all the people who work for newspapers, that is just this uniform group of left-wing statists. And those people being unemployed is absolutely fantastic. Same period saw a drop of 27% in newspaper editorial jobs and a hideous 43% fall in positions for photographers and videographers. Things haven't improved in 2013 with Microsoft's online network MSN laying off all its editors and Bloomberg and the London Independent canning their entire staffs of cultural writers. Things are equally bad outside the United States and Britain, with 15% of all Australian journalists losing their jobs in 2013, and 25% of Spanish journalists being made redundant since the recession, making them, according to the Christian Science Monitor, one of the, quote, biggest casualties, unquote, of the crisis. And the future will be no less depressing for journalists everywhere. New York University media scholar Clay Shirkley, who describes today's threatened loss of journalistic talent. Okay, journalistic talent. Okay, there's a fucking oxymoron. How much talent does it take to just fucking mindlessly repeat whatever some fucking feminist social justice warrior with pink hair says. Okay, journalistic talent, can we please get a fucking grip? Who describes today's threatened loss of journalistic talent as catastrophic, predicts that in the short future, many newspapers will go bankrupt in Kodak style, gradually and then suddenly. Shirkley entitles his obituary, Last Call, The End of the Printed Newspaper. And we see this is happening more and more, especially now in the era of the Trump and Fuhrer, right? We see the media, the mainstream media, they see their death coming. And remember, they helped create, they're all about the internet. Everybody's about this thing. No, everybody's all about the internet. Let's shove shit on the internet. Let's make it free. And it's like, oh shit, we can't make money with free shit on the internet. So you start putting on advertisements, you start putting on paywalls, all this other stuff. But people don't want to pay for your shitty content on the interwebs. And there are people out there who want to be the alternative media. And they're willing to put their shit out there for free. And this is another example of where we can see the interwebs crashing and burning, you know, this established, again, there was this established system where people made money. You printed newspapers, you sold advertisements, you did all this shit, you people had jobs, you paid them. There was this economy, even though it's this left-wing statist retards, you know, there was still this economy in which jobs were created. The internet has showed up and offers the path for which this can all be crashed and burned, where people put information on the internet for free. The mainstream media can't compete with that, and they're freaking out. And this is one example, however, of where I'm perfectly okay with the internet destroying an aspect of the economy. Because if there's any aspect of the economy that needs to be destroyed, it is the excruciatingly left-wing centric, freedom-hating, cocksucking mainstream media. The internet is not the answer for the mainstream media maintaining their monopoly on news and information, if you want to call any of the shit that they put out news and information. But the internet might be the nail in their coffin, and I'm okay with that.